You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Earlier this week, Senator Grant Burgoyne introduced a piece of draft legislation that has the potential to make getting an education beyond high school more affordable. Senator Burgoyne's legislation would require the state to pay for community college or workforce training for Idaho students. The initial draft also proposes that students would have to apply for scholarships or grants, and then the state would pay the rest of that tuition cost. Joining me live in studio to talk more about this is Senator Grant Burgoyne and education policy analyst Jean Henscheid. Welcome to the program, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Senator, I want to start with you. Tell me, I mean, I gave a quick little overview of this draft legislation. Tell me a little bit more about it.
Well, what we have is a problem in Idaho that Jean likes to refer to as the last mile problem. It's not that people in Idaho don't want post-secondary training or education. An Idaho Promise would cover both and at the community college level. And what it would do is it would seek to find where students' Pell Grants top out and what remaining tuition and fees might be due community colleges and pay that last dollar increment for these students, regardless of their ages, regardless of their need, and say that if we can jumpstart these folks into post-secondary education, we can do two things. For people who want academic degrees, it gives them a leg up on getting a 2- and 4-year degree. For people who are more interested in job training, it gives them ready access to the workforce, programs that might last up to 2 years, but more typically are a matter of months and maybe around a year, and then into the workforce. Something that is easier for an 18, 19-year-old, 20-year-old to see with some immediacy. It's daunting for a lot of people to look at, you know, if you're looking at going to medical school, for example, how many years will it take you until you can actually practice medicine? There are a lot of folks that just aren't going to be prepared to take that long into the future to achieve their goal. And they need to achieve their goal today, tomorrow, the next day, within 6, 12, 18 months. Many people in Idaho are not as fortunate as some folks are and constitute what we might call the working poor. And for them, day-to-day is a struggle. And in that struggle, they need something that they can get into quickly, get through without debt, get through to a point where they've improved their lives substantially in the short term. And this can help jumpstart
them. So talk to me about this idea then with what would be paid and who would pay for it. Because you just said, like talk about a Pell Grant, right? Or even a scholarship. Because sometimes, most times, it covers a chunk of tuition and fees, but not everything.
That's right. That's right. That's the precise problem. We have a gap. And we need to fill that gap. And it's not as big a gap as people might think that it is. So a Pell Grant for someone with a fairly low income is going to actually cover tuition and fees, and the state isn't going to have to do anything for those folks. These Pell Grants are available through the federal government. For other people, there will be a gap between what a Pell Grant covers and what a community college's tuition and fees are. And the state will need to make up that difference. The other thing, and I think we ought to let Jean talk about this, is the kinds of mentoring, support, and guidance that needs to come along with this program in order to make it successful.
And Jean, let's go back first to this idea of we have a problem when it comes to people going on to any type of education beyond high school in our state. You have been you have been doing policy on this, studying this for years. Is there something that you can pinpoint as to why? Is it money or is it other things?
Both and. And I don't know that it's a go-on problem, Gemma. I think one of the things that we have done is looked at our K-12 system and wondered, what have we done wrong? Have we failed Idaho, I think, was one of the things that came up a few years ago. And we haven't. And we don't really have just a go-on problem. What we have, as Grant was talking about, is a last-mile problem. The 3 years that we've spent interviewing and talking to and surveying hundreds of educators and students, which is what I do as a policy analyst, what they've told us is that right after high school graduation is the danger moment when students who have said, the vast majority of them do say they want to go on, they need some kind of additional guidance. And that's the phenomenon we know as summer melt. You know, the moment that a high school counselor puts on the "I'm on summer vacation, I'm off contract" email, when they put that up, the students are still faced with red tape, registering for classes, questions about financial resources, and there really is no nonpartisan, outside of the college and university folks, guidance available to them. So many states have looked at guidance, additional guidance, and that's what we're doing, is we're not just talking about throwing money at the problem. We're talking about helping the students make that transition from high school to college. And then beyond that, we know that a third of the students who enter college will leave after the first year. So there's also a danger zone. Guidance is needed as well as financial support.
You know, it's fascinating when you talk about the guidance issue, because we also know that we have numerous students who are first generation college students.
Exactly.
So if mom and dad didn't go to college, they don't necessarily have the tools to know where you get the information about financial aid, about how to register. So when you have been boots on the ground talking with these students and these families, is that what you have found out to be true?
Oh, absolutely. It is not for a lack of desire. It is just the last mile things. And sometimes it might be you discover, for example, that there is an orientation registration fee that might be $100. That could send some first-generation kids into an absolute tailspin. What else is lurking behind there? Guidance would help them understand that there are financial resources available.
So, Senator Burgoyne, is this part of that draft legislation then, to put that idea of the mentors, of the counselors in place as well?
It is. This program is not going to achieve what we hope it will, what we believe that it will, without the guidance and mentoring component. And give you a little example. I have children, and when the college years rolled around, I recall my wife and I and my oldest daughter sitting down with a FAFSA form. And I have to tell you, I found it to be quite daunting to get through that FAFSA form. And I think that for many Idahoans, whether they have a high school diploma, a college degree, or an advanced degree, they're going to find that form a difficult form. And having just that kind of support can be very helpful. I think the problem Jean was highlighting, where the student is now encountering a $100 issue. You know, everybody, when it comes to price, wants to know how much it's going to be and what you're going to get for it. And when things kind of fall in, out of the sky at you, and it's $100 today, and maybe it's $50 tomorrow, and $75 the next day, I can imagine how somebody looking at that situation at 18, 19, 20 years old, or a middle-aged worker with very limited resources who has been displaced, is saying, what's the end game here? What's this going to cost me? And becoming very concerned. Often we're dealing with people who are struggling to come up with the gas money to get to work or to do whatever they need to do today to pay the rent. And so I think the assumption that is often in place that people can afford these little amounts of money is the way it may be viewed, I think is probably incorrect.
So with the draft legislation, you brought it forward Monday, but you will not move forward with it until next session, correct?
That's correct. This is going to require a significant financial commitment from the state of Idaho. Both the components of this are actually covering the tuition and fees, and we're going to have to hire some people to do the mentoring, the guidance, provide the assistance, providing the summer counseling, having the doors open, so to speak, for these folks to obtain the assistance that they need. And while I don't think that we're talking about enormous sums of money and unaffordable sums of money, it is a significant commitment. And we have to generate the support for this. We have to listen throughout the state of Idaho, in our rural communities, in our cities, different industries, different communities of people, and people who are interested in going to school to understand better, be sure that we have right, what is needed and what we'll be able to deliver for us. What I hope to be able to say to the legislature is this is an investment. It is going to more than pay for itself. I believe that. Now it's up to us to set about and show that that's correct.
But is that pie in the sky? And what I mean by that is, can you really get Idaho legislators to move on this and to say, yes, they would actually put money into something like this?
Well, we will see if we can. To me, this makes a lot of sense. We are spending a lot of money in higher education, and we're not always spending it as well as we could. When we have the dropout rates that we have in higher education, we have to look at the fact that if 50% are dropping out along the way, that doubles the unit cost of every degree or credential that's actually earned. Can the state of Idaho sustain that level of commitment of essentially paying double for every degree that is earned? And then we've seen statistics on the number of our graduating students from our universities leaving Idaho. That boosts the cost of the state of Idaho of each degree even further. I think it makes a lot more sense for us to pay for every credential once than to pay for it two or three or four times. And so I do think in that sense, while I will admit that attending college for 2 years or attending a training program and not finishing might still have some value, it is a significant cost and it does promote a significant amount of waste in our system. So this isn't just about what it will cost. It's about what we can save as well.
And how it will affect our economy long term.
Well, that's right. I think, and Gene may be more conversant with the figures than I am, but I think we can expect to see our students for every year of post-secondary work that they do earns between 7 and 10% more themselves. That will, in turn, generate some tax revenues. It will have a ripple effect in the economy. I think every bit as important as that is the issue of student debt. Students who drop out, their student debts become due. They have to start paying on those right away, and they find themselves in low-skill, low-pay jobs in many situations, facing some daunting debt load. Even students who graduate from programs find themselves facing student debt, and that's a significant burden.
I have to wrap the two of you up, but very quickly, you will be spending quite a few months from now, correct, Gene?
So our
doing
job,
research.
Right. Our job in the next year is to do what you do every day, Gemma, which is to listen to people and listen hard and make this legislation as absolutely reflective of the values of the state as we possibly can.
I want to thank both of you for coming in and talking about this. My guest today, Senator Grant Burgoyne, and education policy analyst Gene Henscheid. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.